And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra
making
one,
me call.
And that's how we
hit the podcast. The podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
Oh, Big D and Bubba,
the podcast.
The podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
Everybody loves it.
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
And the podcast is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Are you ready to introduce our guest today? Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, I wish you'd hit that gold that you have from Memphis.
Oh, yeah. The Memphis gold, if you've seen the Memphis video.
It's messed up. The flu killed the old folks in Daniel, so what's up? We're going to die anyway.
That's right. Hey, joining us on the phone is Carl Goldman. He is speaking to us from, I believe, his hospital bed. He got quarantined due to the coronavirus, was on a ship, the Diamond Princess cruise ship, and was quarantined, is now currently in somewhere in Nebraska, I believe. Hey, Carl, how are you, man?
I am actually doing fine. If I was not contagious right now, so I know you don't want me in your studio, I would be back at work.
Yeah, so how long has it been since you first discovered you had it?
Yeah, so I discovered I had it on February 15th. I didn't realize it then, had no symptoms, didn't get my first symptoms until 2 days later when we boarded a plane from the Diamond Princess heading back to the States, fell asleep because it had been an all-nighter to get on the plane, woke up 2 hours later, had 103 fever, and went over to a doctor who's in a hazmat suit on board the plane. He sent me into a quarantine area over there. Unlike other colds and the flu, what's weird about this is I had a dry cough, and that cough lingered and actually is still a little bit with me. But other than the dry cough and then a little shortness of breath the first 3 or 4 days after I got the fever, I was fine. I would have been at work probably 48 hours later. The high fever hit me and only lasted about 8 hours. By the time we landed at Travis Air Force Base in Sacramento, the fever was gone. I didn't have a sore throat, never had a headache, no stuffiness in the nose, no sneezing, no body aches. Even with a high fever, usually I would get that combination, as you well know, of the chills and also sweats. There was none of that.
Wow. So your wife also had it?
No. Luckily, and though it's so bizarre about this virus, we had two friends traveling with us. My wife never got the virus. Our two friends who were traveling with us had the cabin right next door, and we had opened the door between our balconies so we're able to go back and forth. So all during our quarantine aboard the Diamond Princess, the four of us were together all the time, eating meals, watching movies, and all three of us got the virus except my wife.
Is she?
I was going to say, are they trying to identify maybe some thing that might be different about her that keeps her, I don't want to say she's immune because it might be too early to say that, but at this point, I mean, she hasn't gotten it, and she was around a lot of people who did. So there's got to be something different about maybe her genetics or DNA or something somewhere.
Yeah, they haven't found that. And, you know, on the Diamond Princess, there were 3,555 crew and passengers. Over 700 of us got it. So that's close to about 20-25% between 20-25%. I'm sure that number will continue to increase a little bit. But that means the majority of people who were totally exposed to this virus on the ship because it was a floating petri dish didn't get it. One of the things that makes this virus so powerful at the moment and such a challenge is, number one, there's no cure for it. So when I got, just as an example, I went to the biocontainment center in Omaha where they first put me in there because I am 67 years old. I have a pre-existing condition of Guillain-Barré syndrome that impacts the immune system and nervous system. So they put me in this biocontainment unit, yet all they could do was give me a little bit of ibuprofen the first couple of days in order to make sure my fever didn't come back. And they gave me gallons and gallons of Gatorade. I've been through every rainbow the color of Gatorade multiple amounts of times.
Yeah.
The light blue is the bomb, and stay away from the grape. Stay away from that grape. That's nasty.
The light blue is the best. I totally agree with you on that.
Followed by a close second is the orange. So here you are. You're currently laying in a hospital bed. Are you set up on IVs? Or are you just resting? Or what's your current situation?
No, it's even more benign than that. So I spent 10 days in the biocontainment area. There I was hooked up to monitors. I was in a hospital bed. I was sealed off. It was like being in a movie, you know, either the Andromeda Strain movie or Contagion.
Yeah.
And no one came in my room without hazmat suits on. There was double pane thick glass overlooking the area, two cameras on me. I was monitored at all times. Someone would come in my room every 4 hours to take additional vitals that weren't going directly into central command down the hall. And it was really a bizarre experience because, again, by the second day, I was pretty stable. And other than my cough and a little shortness of breath, I was fine. And the shortness of breath was only there when I was exercising, moving around that room. My norm is doing 10,000 steps a day, and it's only 7 steps in that room till I hit a wall. So you guys do the math on how many pacings I had to do to get to 10,000.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So then after 10 days there, back on February 29th, I was moved into the same area my wife was in. We were still isolated, but into the same building that's about 3 blocks away where some of the other passengers from the Diamond Princess were also recuperating. That building is more like a hotel room than necessarily a hospital room. So I have a regular bed, window that doesn't open, that's still sealed. I'm not allowed to leave the room. No one's coming in to see me unless I'm putting a mask on. They have to deliver my meals wearing special coverings over their entire bodies. They have masks on and a big visor covering them, so if they're doing any kind, they check our temperature twice a day to make sure that's normal, deliver 3 meals. And then I signed up for an additional study that's a clinical study. First of all, the center here, the biocontainment center, is interesting because it was set up when 9/11 hit and there was an anthrax scare throughout the country after that. They set up 3 biocontainment units, one here in Omaha, one in Atlanta, and one in New York. The one here in Omaha, and I believe the other two, were never used for anthrax. So 15 years went by after 9/11, and the first time it was ever used was for the Ebola virus. There were patients here in Omaha for Ebola, and then it rested again unused for 5 more years until I came in. So I was the second wave going into that biocontainment area. So the crews had a tremendous amount of practice doing things, and they know what they're doing here.
Do you? What is the how long before you get to get out of there? You've been there for a month.
Yeah, I've been here for a month, and then we left for Japan on January 17th. So we're now coming up on 2 months of being away from home, operating our radio station. I'm stuck here until my body is ready to go. And the testing they do is they put a swab deep up each nostril for 5 seconds and then deep down the throat. Those get taken to the lab, and about 4 or 5 hours later, they have to come out negative for me to have turned the corner. And then I need to have 2 more of those tests 24 hours apart in order to be released. My last test was yesterday. It came out positive yet again.
Oh, no.
And so I now have to wait another 48 hours until they test me. The clinical studies that are being done here, there are 2 of them. One is being done using an experimental drug, and that's being done on 1 patient here. Hopefully that will provide some kind of cure, some kind of answer in speeding up an antidote for this. I was too healthy to qualify for that study, so I volunteered for a different study that won't help me here or speed up my process, but hopefully it'll give them some answers, scientists some answers to how the virus travels and maybe to help speed up that process on the antidote as well.
You know what?
So they're doing a lot of blood tests on me. They hooked me up to other devices. They hooked up and did swabs on everything I touched, from my computer to my iPhone to the toilet seat. And then as a bonus, I get 3 additional swabs aside from the nostrils and throat. Ooh. I get one under each eyelid and then one deep.
Wait. Okay.
I'm taking one for the team, guys.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. I want to say, Carl, I know you're there and you can't leave and it's not your choice, but you are also choosing to have these extra things done that are not going to help you. But thank you for all of us, in case no one else has said it today. Thank you for doing all this so that we have a better chance of getting over this quicker in the future.
Swabs under the eyelids freaks me out.
Like, that's worse than the butt. That's worse than the butt.
Yeah, I don't know which would be more uncomfortable.
The eyelids, sure.
But I can't even go to the eye doctor and have him do that little puff of air thing. Mm-mm. And you're doing that. I mean, holy cow.
Okay, so Carl, if you're just tuning in, Carl Goldman he's in a containment area in Omaha, Nebraska, has coronavirus, and he is keeping track of his whole journey of this on his website. He's got a radio station, and the website is hometownstation.com, hometownstation.com, and you can follow him through there. He's got lots of stuff that he's putting on there. So, Carl, let me ask you this. Honestly, you're there pretty much ground zero. You're dealing with them trying to find a cure for this and all. How far out do you think we are from really having a mass-produced, available cure?
Well, I think they're really close to figuring out what medication is going to help. Then, of course, it has to go into phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 trials before they agree that this is now safe enough to issue in mass distribution. That's going to be, even at high speed, you're looking at 14 to 18 months for that to happen. So even if they hit a home run with this, which we're hoping they do, and the signs are really good because I think they found a few things that look very, very promising. So I would say we're looking at 18 months into this. The other factor we all have in our favor is this virus doesn't do that well in warm environments. So I've been drinking a lot of hot tea, and in addition to my Gatorade, I'm drinking a lot of hot tea that has ginger in it because that pushes the body temperature up. I'm walking the room. And then the advice I give, particularly as we get into spring now and hay fever comes in, allergies, don't freak out with a sniffle or a cough or a sore throat. Grab the thermometer, because in 99% of the cases, it's that spike in fever very, very quickly that seems to be the common denominator for everyone.
Well, I thought I had it the other night. I'm not making light of this at all. I don't get sick very often. Out of nowhere, I had a headache and I felt kind of weird. My body felt icky. And I'm like, oh no, do I have it now? Because they're training us through the media scare that, you know, if you have any cough, sniffle, whatever, you have it. And so I had to literally talk myself down and go, okay, you're good, bud. You're good. And I know we don't have much longer to go. Is there anything that you would like to tell people about coronavirus that they might not know?
Yeah, I think just be smart about it. I believe that right now the government, and not just the federal government, but local communities, are canceling a lot of large attended events, everything from the NBA, of course, and we've been seeing that national news. Stay away from large events. Wash your hands quite a bit. Make sure that you stay chilled over this part. You know, stress is probably the biggest factor of hitting the immune system. So the more you're stressed out, the more you're going to be vulnerable for the virus. So just realize that things are out of your control. Take it one step at a time. Have that thermometer handy so it could be a comfort tool, and use that as one of your guides. And just don't Don't panic out there. Don't make that run on toilet paper.
Oh, it's too late, Carl. It's crazy out here. If you knew yeah. if you knew half of what we are doing out here, you would jump out of a building.
You would actually stay there.
Yeah, don't come out. It's way worse out here.
Oh, I know. Our radio station, we just did a story yesterday because our line at Costco over in Santa Clarita, California, extended, I think, all the way to Nebraska, and a couple people called 911 on others who were cutting in line.
No.
Now, I know if we were in New York, where I grew up, it would be the person cutting in line who would have to call 911.
Yeah, because they would have gotten cut in line.
It had been cut. That's funny. Well, man, Carl, thanks again for talking to us, and I would love to be able to keep up with you on the show with how you're doing. I feel like people are you're so likable. I think people are really kind of attached to you now and are really rooting for you. Maybe we can talk to Patrick afterwards and get him on hold there, and we can get a number to call.
Yeah, if we can call you back next week, Carl, that would be awesome.
Sure. And we have Patrick set that up. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Great.
And then one last thing, I would maybe have you, I'll challenge you to have your listeners do a poll. You can do a poll on whether they prefer eyelids or the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would you rather
I'm gonna
be
go ahead
swabbed?
And tell you we're not gonna do that poll.
No. Why not? Why not? Why not?
If you're watching this live, you can leave your comments. Otherwise,
I'll rather be swabbed.
I'll say right now, I would prefer, honestly, take it for you. I prefer the butt.
Yeah, I think everybody probably would.
Dude, that's so
why can't like you say it? Why don't you say it?
I'm not saying
I prefer the butt. No. Say it. Say
this
right
is
now.
Really taking a turn from educational to just ridiculous.
State your name. Yeah, prefer the butt.
They're swabbing him all over the place to you know stay ahead of this for him. And hey, Carl, it's amazing that you're putting up with this,
man.
So again, thank you. Yeah, seriously, because okay. you're in there for the extra stuff and you're going the extra mile.
So
literally,
thank you.
You guys take care.
Thanks,
all right,
Carl.
Take care, Carl.
All right. Bye.
You know, just. Fascinating.
Wow.
I mean,
you know what's also fascinating is that we have, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this guy was on a cruise ship. Everybody started to get it, and then he didn't have it. He was being flown home, and in the course of that plane ride, realized he was sick, and then he's just been stuck.
2 months?
I was going to say on the other side of the country, but think how far that is.
Yeah, he's 1,500 miles from his house.
Just sitting in a... Yeah. Hospital room.
I mean, that poor dude, his wife. How in the world does his wife not have it?
So she didn't have it. I misread that. They did quarantine her.
They quarantined her.
But
what I'm saying is
she went 3 days without testing. They let her go.
They were with another couple. Carl got it. The other couple got it. His wife didn't get it. What is so special about her that helps?
Because he's had it for 30 days. This is extremely abnormal. That's the difference between his story and most is.
And he's also volunteering to stay there and have all
No, he's not volunteering to stay there. Oh, they won't let him out. He's volunteering to have extra tests done on him while he's trapped there.
Like the swabbing.
Yes. But the reason he can't leave is because he keeps testing positive. And it's very unusual. That's why his case is... kind of one of the outliers is he's older, he's in his late 60s, and he has another disease that causes an autoimmune disease, which caused him to be more likely to get this, but he can't get rid of it. And I think it's that autoimmune disease he has, his body's not able to fight off the virus. So even though he doesn't feel sick and he's not, quote, dying from it, he can't get it out of his system, so they can't let him out because he's contagious. So they're just holding him there.
It's interesting what he said about the heat. I've seen a couple of, you know, the getting facts on this is difficult because is it airborne? Is it not? Is it from droplets in the air or is it a combination? Is it heat related? Are we coming in officially? The end of flu season is at the end of March on the calendar. And that's when traditionally you start to see the numbers decrease because the heat goes up. You're coming into spring, whatnot, and the flu viruses don't survive. And I've seen other places that said that didn't matter because there are places in countries that are warm that they're getting it. But hearing him say that makes me wonder if that is true, for some good news coming up.
I've heard so much about that, so much about people saying that it is heat. sensitive, and it doesn't survive well in hot climes. And that's why they were saying is that we're going to probably have peak coronavirus at some point mid-April here in the States, and then it's going to start to drop off, and then it'll probably have a resurgence in the fall when flu season starts again. It's basically going to run that same course. So if we can get through the next month or so, then as a country, I think we should be good, and hopefully we can be better prepared when it comes back in the fall.
Did you guys see the Joe Rogan video with Michael Osterholm, who
the virologist or whatever?
Yeah, he's University of Minnesota, I believe. He has a very lengthy background in this. I do have time, but I still don't know it. He's got a lot of information to give. And I will tell you, even on the show this morning, I had probably five or six people texting, asking if we had seen it and sending me the link, saying that. And they all said the same thing. It was the first time that they actually got kind of concerned about this. And I agree. I watched it 2 days ago, and it was the first time that I've been really concerned about it. And he goes into his thoughts on it. And he's saying that we're handling this like, I'm quote, like a corona blizzard, 2 or 3 days and we're back to normal. He's saying this is a coronavirus winter. We're going to have the next 3 to 6 months or more like this. He's saying that the virus can infect people through the air. And like I said, you're getting people saying it's not true. I went to the CDC site and they said that it's inconclusive. So it tells me that no one's really sure.
Inconclusive also tells me that, we might know something, but we don't want to scare everybody.
Right. Underlying health problems. That's an issue. We all know that.
Which is why I'm concerned about my dad. But the good news is he had that triple bypass and he's staying home because he doesn't have the energy to get out.
The incubation period, meaning the time that you're exposed to the time you get sick, is about 4 days. You can be contagious but not have symptoms. The surgical masks are largely nonsense. That's what he said.
But they're good if you do have it already and you're trying not to spread it, then you're keeping the droplets from hitting the ground and surfaces and things like that.
Kids are not getting sick very often. In China, it's only about 2% of the cases were under 19 years of age.
Did I see that right, that no children under 10 had passed away? None.
That was old numbers. I don't know what it is now. But again, it's also 0.2% of cases, children under 10.
It's also 0.2% of cases, people under 40 actually pass away from this.
No, I'm saying total even cases. Get it. Gotcha. 0.2% of cases in China were reported to be children under 10, okay. Which means their bodies are almost immune to it. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying it's
according to the numbers from China, if we were to trust China's numbers.
Yeah, and then again.
This is an interesting take, too. He says that he thinks that many people could eventually get infected with the coronavirus and that it would stop itself, saying that once you have it, you're essentially immune to it.
See, and I heard different. Interesting because, again, it goes there's that conflicting information.
People being overly cautious, just like with all – I mean, I think this whole thing is a snowball of overly cautious. I do. I'm more worried about the economic impact down the road than I am about the actual virus.
I'm worried about the economic impact of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm not worried about people getting sick, but I'm saying we're taking measures that might stop people from getting sick but are definitely going to hurt people in the long run. And we haven't even started with the craziness of telling people not to go to restaurants, telling people not to go to the store.
Dude, I'm going to eat Mexican tonight because I don't want restaurants to close.
I went out last night because I said...
Was it empty?
It was...
Look, man, they said Disney World had a normal crowd yesterday, and they're closing, I think tomorrow's their last day, but no one was... there was a lot of talk, boy, it'd be a good time to go to Disney World. Apparently not. Apparently everybody was already...
There was an article right before the closing announcement came out that said people were like, no, we've been planning this trip and we've looked at the data and Disney had put all this extra hand sanitizer in and wipes. And then one guy said, if I'm going to die, I might as well do it in Disney World.
It's the happiest place in the world. Yeah, that's crazy. There's so much cuckoo stuff out there that you don't know. And I'm going to have my chips and salsa. That's what it goes down to.
A lot of people are getting the hand sanitizers. You brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about them. Those are...
It doesn't work.
Antibacteria. Yeah. This is not. This isn't a bacteria. Although, it's a virus. It's a different thing.
I mean, I don't know. Will it kill a virus? I don't know. But I know this. When you wash your hands, you're washing the virus off of your hands. Yep. That's why washing your hands works. It's not about what's in the soap. It's about soap. So stop buying all antibacterial soap.
Yeah, my parents went shopping yesterday, and they said all the antibacterial soap was gone.
Oh, man.
And here's
here.
Me going, it's all well, gone. Yeah. Well, do you have soap? Do you need to send you soap? And they're like, we have soap. I mean, they're ready to kill me.
Yeah.
Because my mom texts me, and she goes, you're my worry wart kid. I forgot. Because my parents are older. I go, stay home. Get stuff. Do you have food in your house? Because they go out to eat all the time. So they never have food in the house. I'm like, just buy some peanut butter.
I want to talk, and I want to ask.
All the peanut butter's gone.
Yeah, I know. Here's my dad. He's like, I'll go get some bologna.
There was one little bottle of peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter left yesterday when I went, and we were laughing at everything. It was funny. You could see exactly where people find their panic purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
what
like
did I peanut do 2 weeks, and toilet though. Paper. Yeah. I had already scheduled my pickup for groceries. I got my big old jars of peanut butter, my four things of Lysol. I was ready to go 2 weeks ago.
I want to talk seriously about, again, the real world effects of this panic as opposed to the actual virus itself, and ask everyone to say a prayer for my grandmother. And also my grandfather. My grandfather's in the nursing home. He's 94. But he's less likely to be aware of what's going on. I'm sure he notices that my grandmother can't go visit him anymore. But I doubt that he's as affected by it as she is. And she's just, I feel terrible for her. She goes every day. She drives across town to go to the nursing home to sit with him all day and knit and crochet little hats for all the nurses and stuff, but she can't go. And my poor father had to call her because the nursing home called him and said, look, the federal regulations have changed and the governor as well has told us that we can't allow any visitors. And so they wanted him to call and tell my grandmother she can't go to the nursing home anymore.
Mm.
And I mean, telling people they can't visit their families.
Yeah.
Is a drastic step, and I understand that keeping it out of the nursing homes is important, but that you got to remember that her not being there is going to negatively affect his health. So he's as likely to get sicker because she's not going to visit him every day and making him drink his protein shake and making him eat his dinner because the nurses will not force him to do it, but she can, and all that stuff. And, his health is going to deteriorate with or without this virus. So
it's all still stories like that you don't think about that are affected.
Nobody's thinking about this kind of stuff. Think about those poor people who can't get visitors at all.
Yeah. There's a human impact to this, and it's more than just, my buddy Alkai said it, and I'm going to give him a shout out because I just saw he tuned in. He's the one who turned me on to the whole, hey, look, the reason they're stopping all the big like all the sports and stuff like that is so we don't spread it as fast as it could possibly go. I think, honestly, now I kind of agree with all this stuff stopping. And Patrick is all anti, that. But
I'm anti-panic.
If we can, it's not the panic. I wish they would say why they're stopping.
I know why,
the NHL,
and I still think it's panic.
Why they're stopping College World Series.
Why are they
Series.
Not running the college basketball tournament
March
without a
Madness.
Crowd.
Yeah, they could totally do March Madness without a crowd.
Yeah,
and I think we could watch
thought
that.
That was drastic. And canceling it altogether
but to
is
see
just,
that,
you know.
If, yeah, I think if you do it without a crowd, I think it would be great. I think if the NBA would play without a crowd, it would be great. I think if Major League Baseball would go and play without a crowd, it would be great. Because we could still, it gives us one thing. It gives us something to do at home.
You know who else I feel really, really bad
some games?
For?
What?
Is all the dudes who scheduled vasectomies for next Wednesday.
Oh,
they say it's the number one day for guys to schedule vasectomies because they can't leave the house for 2 days.
So they do it
on the Wednesday before March Madness starts
so
they can stay home. I'm serious. So they can stay home all
this
day
Thursday
and Friday.
This is a real thing, Carson.
It's a real thing that happens. The number one day for scheduling your vasectomy
this
in
the
United States.
This is the only thing men have ever planned for ever.
Yeah.
Is this.
I'm getting
this
it done.
It's our Valentine's.
So I can watch the first 2 days of March Madness, and I have. You can't tell me I can't.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with my ice pack
with
of
your peas
facts.
On my junk, and I'm watching basketball. And now those dudes are going to say, I guess they can watch Netflix, but it's not
NASCAR is running this weekend in Atlanta. with nobody in the
I'm a little concerned because I'm going to Talladega. Are they going to cancel that? You know, I worry about it. Patrick's looking at me like, what?
I don't think you're going to be going to Talladega. I mean, you can go. But
I mean, it's in April 25th, right?
Talladega? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But I mean, that'll probably be peak Corona.
My problem is canceling things weeks in advance because we don't know what's going to happen a week from now, 2 weeks from now. I really have a problem with you canceling concerts and events that are 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 weeks away.
Do you think we're going to have the Olympics?
No. I think it's going to be postponed.
No. They're going to totally push it off, and it's going to be on a whatever like next year or something like that.
Yeah, because I don't think they were talking about pushing it to November. Which how can you do the summer games in November?
I don't know.
I don't know what winter is like in Tokyo, so I don't know what their weather is. But
I just think, man.
I mean, I don't think
I understand why they are keeping people out of big crowds, and that's so we don't put a strain on the medical system. Because if you have too many patients, they can't handle it, and then it becomes
a real problem. We're not anywhere close to having too many patients in this country.
I know we're not
It's
near
not even
it.
Close. That's, I don't even want to put that in the world.
But they're being proactive. That's why they're canceling all this stuff.
By the way, it's not like the government is canceling this stuff. Companies are canceling these events, and they're all doing it because everyone else is doing it, and they feel like they have to. It's called lemming syndrome. It is absolutely, but also that no one wants to be seen as the company that didn't cancel stuff.
So if you don't cancel your
stuff, no one cares. PR right now. If you don't look, the NHL had no real reason to cancel. No one's tested for it. They canceled as soon as the NBA did, and it was predicted that they would. Because, well, you don't want to be the guys who didn't cancel, so everyone cancels.
So the
Universal closed within minutes of Disney World announcing they were closed. Why?
New York City canceled their St. Patrick's Day parade. That's New
Orleans, so did Boston too.
I had gone.
What's Boston without a St. Patrick's parade?
What's New York without St. Patrick's Day?
What I'm saying is, why does Universal close when Disney closes? Because, well, we don't want to be the guys who stayed open.
If you stay open, you're the person who doesn't care about
people. Who don't care.
Because it doesn't, if something does happen and you stay open while the others close.
Are you liable?
And someone gets sick.
I wonder that.
No one knows.
It costs you more.
Yeah.
It'll cost you more than what you lose closing.
If somebody gets sick, Patrick, maybe because you're so in love with the legal aspects of it and very knowledgeable of that.
No.
If somebody gets sick, let's say they go to a conference championship tournament or whatever, and they get sick,
right now,
is the tournament responsible for the person?
No, there's no answer to your question because we don't know. The court system is all based on precedent. So there's,
well, what
this
if I go somewhere and get the flu tomorrow, and I can totally blame it on somebody that
And you'd never win that case.
Okay.
I mean, you can sue anyone.
You can sue anyone or anything, but you'd never win that case and go, well, I got the flu because they didn't close, the basketball game
sooner.
You
made the choice to go to the basketball game. You knew the consequences of being around
people. Libertarianism says, let people make that choice.
Yeah,
of course,
and
we let people make choices, and they buy all the toilet paper. So,
hey, are we going to have college football?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we're far enough removed from that.
But it's going to be back in the fall. Remember the stuff you were just telling us about from that doctor?
If it comes back every year, are we going to do this every year? We never going to get over this?
The big question is, Carl, the COVID-19 patient that we just talked to a couple of minutes ago, is he still going to be in quarantine in the fall? I mean, that poor dude.
Find some reason to help that guy get out.
Did they cancel WrestleMania?
I don't know, did they? You're asking us.
This is the reason I ask is because they purposely schedule it right. The weekend they pick it's the one dead sports weekend that I think the Final Four is over and it's right before baseball starts. And because MLB is suspended, I just thought about that. I go, is Vince McMahon willing to pull that plug?
Well, he pulled the plug on XFL.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like they didn't. I mean, look, I'm not dissing the XFL. They didn't have NFL-level crowds. They didn't have college-level crowds. But, the sport was actually, the game was pretty entertaining.
I loved
Saturdays and Sundays. Mm-hmm. I've been watching XFL. Now I am completely bummed that we don't have that. I wish they would have kept it. So there's your thing there. We're talking Vince McMahon with WrestleMania. He also is the XFL guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think WrestleMania is at risk also now.
It's at Madison Square Garden.
Well, they could move it.
Because New York City is under a state of emergency. I think they've done something with the city, but
aren't they saying that they're going to declare a national emergency?
Yeah, they already did.
It's done. Okay.
Patrick, I want to get back to what you're saying about hospitals, and there are a lot of articles out about it, and you can agree to disagree or whatever, but you know, if you go by a mild flu year, an infection rate is about 7.5% of the population, U.S. And they're saying, analysts are estimating that using that number, that 23.8 million Americans could contract COVID-19. And if that's the case, then we have a problem with getting beds in hospitals, because that would mean there could be 6 seriously ill patients for every existing U.S. hospital bed, and no state's prepared for that. And so
that's why they're canceling all the
that's
big
why
events.
They're canceling mm-hmm. all these things. And it sounds crazy. I remember yesterday I was like most people, this is stupid.
I was livid angry. 2 nights ago when they canceled when they told us we couldn't go back to any more of the SEC basketball games. I was like, what?
But you know, I think that there's also the underlying thing of a lot of people are asking, is there something more going on that they're not telling us?
Well,
we always have that thing.
You and I had the discussion about, is this a stress test on America? Like, you know, the government has tested things in the past. Yep, remember they would yep. do the little thing to see the virality of things, how long it takes for things to spread around. There could be an underlying part to this is, you know, they could be stress testing in a minor way. I don't think that's the reason.
I don't why think this
that's the
here.
Reason, but no. I know for a fact hey, they're watching the way people react.
And
to
I'm fine
this.
With that.
Yeah,
because if it's happening anyway, observe yeah. it and
find
research
the weaknesses.
It.
See where the societal breakdowns yeah. are, and be prepared
better for the next time.
Yes, for the big one.
Sorry, I'm really impressed with Carl talking about the quarantine centers that we have in the United States. I didn't realize that we have 3 quarantine that were set up buildings, New York, Atlanta, and Omaha after 9/11, and they weren't used for like 15 years until, what do you say, Ebola? And then they used them for that, and then they went down for another 5 or 6 years, and now they're being used again. I didn't know we had that. And if we have that, that means that we have other ones. That
yeah.
we don't know
oh,
about.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Also, something crazy. So Sophia was telling me, and, you know, the Italy thing is very interesting to watch because it's gotten so out of hand over there. You have to have papers to, let's say if you want to go to the grocery store, you have to be approved to be allowed out of your home during this quarantine in Italy. And if it gets that way here, people are going to freak out because we have
it's not gonna
the
get that
underlying way. Thing in America is freedom. Mm-hmm. And you have the freedom of movement and you can do that kind of stuff. But, I mean, to be able to go to your job if you are needed, if you're one of those essential things, you have to have these special papers that allow you to move right now in Italy. And it's very interesting to see what's going on over there, because they're going to the extreme. Their hospitals are screwed because they waited too long to do anything. Thank God.
They also didn't cut off travel to China.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Thank God we were able to stop travel.
No one's talking about that because a lot of the media doesn't want to say anything that will make the president look good. But that's the honest truth. The 2 countries that have the most back and forth travel from China are Iran and Italy and South Korea. Those are the 3 Western-ish. I know South Korea is not a Western country, but it is basically is.
Western society.
Western society that have the most back and forth travel to and from China. So Iran has a ton of people like Iran, but Iran has a lot of business deals with China and a lot of infrastructure deals, and they're back and forth between China and Iran all the time. And they were the first one to really have a major crisis. That's why so many people in their government have it. But we don't have that. There are 12,000 cases in Italy. For us to get to that stage in a country this size, we would have like 65,000 cases. We're not going to get anywhere close to that. There are 280,000 ventilators in the U.S., and they're saying they're not enough if everybody's sick. But to get 280,000 people who need a ventilator,
well, you're also assuming that people would only need a ventilator if they have COVID-19. No, we need ventilators for all kinds of things. People post-op, people, you know, who are in recovery. So, yeah, those 280-something thousand ventilators, How many are taken by other patients first? So how many do we have free at any given moment? That's what you have to look at. So if we do have 65,000, is that more than the system can handle? That's where we're, you know, you have to look at the big picture and not just coronavirus.
Right. But coronavirus isn't even close to that scale. It's just not, you know.
Right now.
We're, hopefully I will put my money on the American healthcare system over the Italian healthcare system every day. So yeah. I'm not saying it can't get to a point where it overcomes our hospitals, but it's going to take a lot more, and not just percentage-wise, it's going to take a lot more to overrun our healthcare system than it did to overrun Italy's. Also an aging population. Their population is way older than ours.
It is.
On average.
I don't know the numbers, but I did see that the other day. And
25% of people in Italy are over the age of 65.
One out of every four people.
Is of course so, and those are the people who are most likely to get and die from this virus. So that's part of the problem there. It's not the only problem, but that's part of the problem.
Carson's somebody sent me a meme. If you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for the next 14 days, you probably should have been seeing a doctor long before coronavirus.
Wow. Well, we will be updating you with Carl's story. He is really a likable guy, man. He's got a great sense of humor, and I really think we should keep up with him on the show next week, Patrick. So if you can hook that up, if he's willing to do that.
I think people are going to want to follow along with his progress. I mean, what a crazy story.
He'll be kind of our Corona kid. He'll be our Corona mascot.
That sounds so bad.
I know, Daddy. He's funny, man. Were you in here, Carson, when he said he has to get swabbed?
No, under his eye.
So he has to get swabs up his nose, real deep in his nose and down his throat. But they also, because he's doing another study, so they can make it even better. You know, you have to sign up for it. And is it once a day he has it done?
Yes, once a day.
They swab inside his eyelids. And then
with a Q-tip?
With a Q-tip. And then one up his butt.
Yeah.
Oh, which would you prefer?
I'm sorry, the eyelids sounds worse to me.
The problem is the eyelids, I go, I'd rather have eyelids than something up my nose. But, well, because you guys don't wear contacts, do you?
No.
I can sit here. I'll touch my eyeball right now in front of you.
If I ever lose my eyesight, I'm going to be a glasses guy.
You don't know. When he kept talking about those deep nasal swabs, if you've never had one done, you don't know.
It feels like they're shoving a Q-tip into the back of your skull.
It's like a lobotomy.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Crazy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah,
I thought he just meant up into your like.
They shoved that thing into your sinus cavity.
They're trying to like.
It's like one step from mummification. That's what we're saying.
I'm not sure which.
Hey,
is worse.
Everyone, stop right now. Say a little prayer for Carl. Yeah, that poor guy's been doing this for 30 days.
He's doing it for other people.
Say my little silent.
He's doing it for people, man. You know, and helping out. That's awesome. I think that's a. I don't know.
I mean, he can't get out. But while he's there, it was nice of him to think, hey, yeah, go ahead and shove Q-tips in my eyeballs for everyone else's sake.
And do my beauty.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know if we did anything to help stop the panic today. I don't know.
Well, no, I think it is interesting because I think to stop the panic, the most important thing is that we talk to a man on the beginning. If you're watching on Facebook and you're just tuning in or something like that, go back to the beginning of this and watch it from the beginning and listen to what Carl has to say. This guy has been dealing with being a coronavirus patient for 2 months. For 2 months, he has been in quarantine. And to hear his story is just fascinating. And to follow along with that is going to be fascinating still as we continue to get the updates. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, you don't have to rewind unless you want to. That's totally cool. But he's a hero. I mean, I will definitely say that. To be saying, yeah, do the extra tests on me, to do these crazy swabs, you're already uncomfortable. He's pacing that cell. I mean, it's basically the room is a tiny little room. It's like a cell. And he's pacing that over and over and over, getting 10,000 steps a day. That's crazy.
Can we post the link to his blog on social media?
Yeah,
so
sure.
We'll post that as well. And if you're listening to this, I've got a link to it or a description of it in the podcast.
And I'll put it on the Facebook post as well. So Yeah, you can follow along that way. Carl, you rock, man. Once again, thank you for being on the show. And awesome. I don't know if he's watching this or listening anymore. But, yeah, I said a little prayer while Big D was talking. I was like, I had my little prayer for Carl. Poor dude.
You're the guy that tells people that you prayed.
No,
and
I'm
then
just
said
saying.
And then said amen so we could hear you.
Well, I was just wanted you to know that I was praying for Carl.
Yeah, I know.
Carl.
We've given you your credit points.
You let us know. We heard that. Are you a fireman, too?
I thought we were going to have a moment of silence. Yes, I am. I thought we were going to have a moment of silence.
Look at me.
For Carl.
Look
at
me.
As we all pray together, but no.
Oh, my gosh. We ticked the box.
It's messed up. The flu killed the old folks in Daniel, so what's up? We're going to die anyway.
Okay.
Die anyway.
All right, guys. Y'all, are we done?
Done.
All right. Thank you for watching the podcast, listening as well. Thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for being our sponsor. We love O'Reilly Auto Parts. I got to go get me some windshield wipers. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
It's over.
But that's okay because you can listen to the regular show
on
the radio every day. It was the podcast.
It's messed up. The flu killed the old folks in Daniel, so what's up? We're going to die anyway.